A key verse for today that we have heard sermons about, that we've read, it applies to our day, has three commands for us. Revelation 14, verse 7. Revelation 14, verse 7, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God, give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters." Here's three commands. It applies to today, applies to our time. And I want to look at this phrase that says, give glory to Him. Give glory to Him. That's a command, something that we need to do today. This phrase, give glory. Glory is whatever brings honor, praise, adoration. A second definition for glory is a level of prosperity. And a third definition for glory is brightness. That's something that we can't give to God. We can't give God that. He already has this brightness. So when this command here in Revelation 14, verse 7 says, give glory to Him, what is this glory that we should be giving Him? Many times we can learn a key phrase or a word in the Bible. We can learn its meanings. We can learn its ideas from the very first time that the word is used. The first use of the word glory is Genesis 31, verse 3. Genesis 31, verse 3, the very first time that the word glory is used in the Bible. It says, Genesis 31, verse 1, "And he heard the words of Laban's sons, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's has he gotten all this glory." Genesis 31, verse 1, glory is used here to refer to all the stuff that Jacob has taken away from Laban. That means that glory is stuff. It's material. Material stuff. That's what it is. How about the second use of this word glory? Genesis 45, verse 13. Genesis 45, verse 13. The second time in the Bible when this word glory is used. Genesis 45, verse 13. "And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father here." So Joseph says this to his brothers to go get his father. This position is what Joseph has now. He's the prime minister of Egypt. That's a glory related to his position, related to his power. But I also think it might be related to stuff, because I'm pretty sure that Joseph was getting rich and being well paid while he was a prime minister. So glory is stuff, it's material, it's also position and power. Here's the very first use of the phrase, glory of the Lord. Glory of the Lord, Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16, and I'll read verse 7. Moses says to the people of Israel, he says, "In the morning, then you shall see the glory of the Lord." You will see God's glory. "For that he hears your murmurings against the Lord, and what are we that you murmur against us?" And then just a few verses later, verse 10, "It came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud." This is God's glory. It's a visible brightness. Again, that is something that we can't give to God. He already has that. So what is the glory that we can give to God? The command for today from Revelation 14, verse 7 is give glory to Him. So what is the glory that we give Him? What is glory? Here's a few examples. Proverbs has quite a few examples of the use of the word glory. Here's one, Proverbs 16, verse 31. "The hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness." Imagine that. Gray hair would be glory. Well, gray hair if the person is righteous. I think gray hair would be related to their level of experience. Their level of experience would be their glory there. Here's another one from Proverbs. Proverbs 20, verse 29. Proverbs 20, verse 29. "The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head." So again, gray hair could be glory or strength for the young guys. Glory is the thing that makes you special. For the older man, yes, he has that gray hair. For the younger man, he has that strength. It's the thing that makes him special. Proverbs 19, verse 11. Proverbs 19, verse 11. The discretion of a man defers his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. To be able to forgive is special. If you can forgive somebody, whatever the case is, whatever the situation is, if you can forgive, that would be very special. To be able to forgive is special. It says it's that glory to forgive. Proverbs 25, verse 2. Proverbs 25, verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. God can forgive sin. That's a glorious thing that he can do. God can forgive sin. Or he can also work out his will in secret. So he can work out his will. He has his plan. He has his ideas. He has his will that he wants done. And he works it out without anyone seeing how that is done or how that happens. He works out his will in secret. Proverbs 28, verse 12. Proverbs 28, verse 12. When righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory. But when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. My question as I read this verse is, what do the righteous men rejoice about? What do the righteous rejoice about? What is it that makes them have delight? What do they enjoy? Isaiah 42, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8. It says here in Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. The way this verse is worded, the structure of the verse, we can see that glory equals praise. Glory equals praise. Isaiah 48, verse 11. Isaiah 48, verse 11. Isaiah 48, 11. For my own sake, even for my own sake will I do it. For how should my name be polluted? And I will not give my glory to another. So here we see the opposite of glory is to be praising something else. It says, I'll not give my glory to another. Say something bad about God is the opposite of give him glory. The righteous, what do the righteous rejoice about? They rejoice about God. They say something good about God. They praise God. If we say something bad about God, that's the opposite of give him glory. Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. What do we talk about? Do we talk about God? Are we praising God? Verse 24 says that if we're going to glory in something, talk about how we know God, how we understand God, how we understand his character. That's something for us to praise God about. That's something for us to talk about. Verse 23 makes it clear that we should not be talking about ourselves. Don't let the wise man say how much he knows or the mighty man how strong he is. Don't talk about self. Here's why. Proverbs, again, Proverbs 25, verse 27. Proverbs 25, 27. It is not good to eat much honey. So, for men to search their own glory is not glory. If we talk about ourselves, it would just lead to pride. A few years ago in Grand Rapids, there was a man who owned a small foreign car, and it was getting great gas mileage, and he was really starting to annoy his friends by continuing to talk about his car. He talked about how well his car was driving with the gas mileage. He could just go so far on so little gas. It was just a wonderful car, and Maybe it was partly because of his driving skill that he was getting great gas mileage as well. So these friends, they were getting a little bit annoyed about it and decided to change the situation a little bit. When he talked about his car and how great the gas mileage was, one of them would sneak out to the car, take a little couple of gallons of gas there, and while he was busy at work and bragging to his coworkers, one of them would slip out there, take that gas can, and add a couple of gallons to his gas tank. It seemed that he was getting better and better gas mileage, and he was just talking about it more and more, about how great his gas mileage was, and they continued to add a little bit of gas to his tank, so he never noticed it. Pretty soon, he was getting 90 miles per gallon. 90 miles per gallon. And the pranksters, they all thought that this was pretty good, and they laughed at themselves while he would talk about how great his gas mileage was. Of course, at one point in time, they stopped giving him gas, and then he could never figure out why his gas mileage was no longer as great as it used to be. The reason was because he was getting help from his friends. What is it that you can do? What is it that you have the ability to do? Are you getting help from God? Is God helping you and taking care of you, giving you some help to do that? If you talk or think about or search out how great you are in your own way, it would probably lead to pride. Daniel chapter 4, you know the story with King Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel chapter 4, he has Babylon, a wonderful kingdom, incredible city. He's so proud of the city. He has done so well, conquered so many nations, and he actually says what he's thinking out loud. So Daniel chapter 4, verse 30, he says out loud, the king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" Out loud, he talked and talked about his level of prosperity, talking about his glory. He was praising himself. Praising himself. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 28. As I read this verse a little while ago, it just captured my mind, just this little description is here in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 28. "His breath as an overflowing stream shall reach to the midst of the neck, to sift the nations with the sieve of vanity. And there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err." This little mental picture here I found fascinating. God has a sieve, and he can pour people, you know, water is a symbol of people. He can pour people through his sieve, and his sieve will catch the proud. God will pour the people through his sieve. "Oh, I've got a proud one here today. Oh, I've got a braggart over here. Oh, I've caught another one that's praising himself over here." God will use his sieve to catch the proud, those that are talking about themselves. He has a sieve to catch them, and then he'll throw away the proud, not interested in them. We have two options. We can praise self, or we can praise God. Praise self or praise God. John chapter 7, verse 18. John chapter 7, verse 18. Jesus here describes this. John chapter 7, verse 18. Jesus says, "He that speaks of himself seeks his own glory. But he that seeks his glory," talking about God's glory, "that sent him," talking about Jesus, "the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." Do we praise self, or do we go and find out? And the verse 18 uses this, seeks his glory. Do we go find out what God has done? Do we go find out what God has done? Matthew chapter 15, verse 30 and 31, just one example of many here in the New Testament. John chapter 15, verse 30 and 31. "Great multitudes came to him," came to Jesus. They had with them here, in verse 30, "having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them." So much, verse 31, "so much that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel." You can picture it. For days, the people are going to be talking about what God has done. For days, they'll talk about what Jesus did. They'll say, I know that guy. I remember seeing him for years ago. He's been blind for years, and he came to Jesus, and he was healed. Another one's going to say, I remember him. He broke his arm years ago, and it never healed right. Well, when Jesus touched him, his arm worked again. See, the maimed are able to be whole again. I remember that guy, he's never been able to walk. His whole life he could never walk, but he walks now because Jesus healed him. As they talk about what God has done, they are glorifying the God of Israel. They are praising God because they're talking about the wonderful things that Jesus did. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16, this is actually a psalm from David that has been snuck out of Psalm and put in a different book. So here it is in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles 16, it's a long chapter here, nice psalm, and I'm just going to read some of the verses. 1 Chronicles 16, I'll start with verse 9. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his faith continually. Remember his marvelous works, what he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones. If we're going to praise God, we're going to talk about his wonderful works, then that means that we would be bringing glory to his name. It says, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. We're going to rejoice and talk about what God has done. We're going to remember his works, what he has done, his wonders, his judgments. Skipping down a little bit, same psalm here. It's 1 Chronicles 16, verse 23. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. So that means we're going to be talking about what he has done, the wonderful things he has done. Verse 29, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering, because don't forget, glory also is related to stuff, physical material stuff. Bring an offering, and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Verse 30, fear before him, all the earth. The world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. This is verse 30 here. Be awestruck. Be awestruck by what he has done. Verse 31, let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the woods sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he comes to judge the earth. Yes, more great things he will do, especially at judgment time, which is now. Now that we're in judgment time, according to Revelation 14, verse 7, there are more wonderful things that he will be doing now that we can praise him for. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. Look at this issue of praising God, of bringing glory to him as it works here in the book of Revelation. Revelation 3, verse 17. This is part of the message to the church of Laodicea. Revelation 3, verse 17. Part of the message to the church of Laodicea, the description of the Christian church for today. It says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that art wretched and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Look at that. It says here, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Who is Laodicea talking about? Talking about self. This is self-praise. I'm rich, need of nothing, doing great. Sounds like pride. It applies to our day now. Just like Revelation 14, verse 7 says, now is the time for us to give glory to God. The hour of his judgment has come. Worship him that made heaven and earth, and the sea and the fountains of waters. But the command for us today is give glory to him. Give glory to God. We need to be talking about God, not talking about ourselves. Revelation 4, verse 11. Revelation 4, verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. God is worthy of glory. He's worthy of praise because he has created. Revelation 5, verse 12. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. God is worthy of glory and praise because of Jesus' sacrifice. Revelation 7, verse 12. Revelation 7, verse 12. Here's the angels and those around the throne. They say, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. They are praising God. Because in Revelation chapter 7, we've just seen the list of those people that are sealed and saved. God has sealed his people. He has saved his people. And so they're praising God. He's worthy of glory, worthy of praise, because he has saved his people. Revelation 11, verse 13, applies to a scary, difficult time. Revelation 11, verse 13, it says, The same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. These people went through a very scary and difficult time, and God had come through for them. God came through for them, and he will for you too, and so they praised him. And we should too when he comes through for us in a difficult time. Revelation chapter 13, verse 4. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? Worship is comparing. Worship is comparing. True worship, we compare ourselves to God. We see how sinful we are and how righteous he is at his level. But here in Revelation 13, verse 4, this is false worship, and it's comparing self to self, or comparing self to an idol. You know, there are many who look at their idol, they look at their God, and they think, yeah, the God that I have has a bad temper. The God that I have has done things that I've done too. So then they don't feel that bad. That's false worship. Which is why the command comes to us in Revelation 14, verse 7, Fear God, give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. We should give glory to God. There are some that have the false worship. There are some that refuse to give glory to God, or they give glory to another. They praise some other God, they praise some other thing, or praise themselves. At the time of the seven last plagues, we see Revelation 15, verses 2 through 4. Revelation 15, 2 through 4. This is the time for the seven last plagues to come, and in verse 2 it says, I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on a sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are their works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Here, the saints give glory to God. It's the time of the seven last plagues, but the saints give glory to God. They're praising God. I think it's interesting here in Revelation 15, verse 4, it says, Who will not fear thee? We have the command in Revelation 14, 7. To fear God, O Lord, and glorify thy name. We have the command to give glory to him. For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee. There's the command to worship him in Revelation 14, verse 7. For thy judgments are made manifest. Revelation 14, verse 7 says, The hour of his judgment is come. So here we have fear, glorify, and worship and judgment in the same order as Revelation 14, verse 7. This means that the command of Revelation 14, verse 7, the message of Revelation 14, verse 7, the saints fulfill in Revelation 15, verse 4. The wicked, they don't do that. During the seven last plagues, the wicked, they don't give glory to God. Revelation 16, verse 9. Men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God which has power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. They don't want to give glory to God. During the seven last plagues, the saints give glory to God, but the wicked don't. Revelation 18, verse 7. Revelation 18, verse 7. How much has she glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her? For she said in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. The wicked, the description here in Revelation 18, the description here of the wicked is glorified self. Don't give glory to God or glorified self. Revelation 19, verse 6 and 7. Revelation 19, 6 and 7. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. Honor and glory, I think, are the same thing here. Praise and honor would be the same. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Let us give him honor. Let's give him glory. Let's give him praise. And we can do it in person. That's the beautiful ending of Revelation, as we get to give this glory to God in person. Revelation 21, verse 23. Revelation 21, verse 23. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. God, he will be the visible brightness. He'll be the visible brightness. He'll take part of that glory, but we can bring in our own praise and our own glory to him in person. Verse 24, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. They come to praise God in the new Jerusalem. Verse 26, they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. We, in person, will go praise God for the wonderful things that he has done. We will give him glory. Look forward to that day. Dear Jesus, we see the command in Revelation 14, verse 7, to give glory to God. And so it's our desire to praise you for the wonderful things you have done. It's our glory and our praise that we bring to you as we thank you for the works that you have done in our lives, for the wonderful works that we have seen in the Bible. And so we praise you and we bring you glory now. And we look forward to that day when we can bring glory and praise to you in person. Amen.